The first time Erica Stallings' mom had breast cancer, this was in the early 1990s, doctors didn't yet fully understand the role her genes may have played in the disease. But then 14 years later, in 2007, her mom's cancer comes back.
And that's when the doctors sort of realized that there may be something genetic going on. And that's when she was tested and she found out that she was a carrier for BRCA2.
BRCA1 and 2 are genes. They're found on our 17th chromosome. Sometimes you'll hear them called BRCA1 or 2. When you have a mutated BRCA gene, it puts you at a higher risk for breast cancer. Because Erica's mom is positive, that means there's a 50-50 chance she would have inherited a mutated BRCA2 gene. But remember, she's a senior in college at this time, 22 years old. Getting tested just wasn't a priority.
So, you know, at the time, I had just gotten accepted into law school. I was going to be moving to D.C. I knew, like, my ultimate goal was to, like, get a job and, like, move to Manhattan. So I don't want to say I pushed it to the back of my mind, but I sort of, you know, it didn't seem super pressing at the time.
Fast forward a few years, Stallings' law career and her New York life are settled. She's got a supportive boyfriend. She felt like she was finally in a good place to get the test. Nervous, but ready to deal with the potential results. So she calls to make an appointment and is told that she first needs to meet with a genetic counselor to start the process. But the wait to get in to see a counselor, it turns out, is 5 months long. After working up the guts to finally make the call, this wait was not welcome news.
You know, it just sort of adds like a level of stress to something that's already stressful.
Stallings is not alone in feeling that frustration. There are just 4,000 genetic counselors in the country today. That's one for every 80,000 Americans. It's not enough to keep up with the surge in demand.
As genetic testing is growing and becoming more widely adopted by everyone for all sorts of different things, not just pregnancy, but, you know, cancer, heart disease, there is a disconnect. Who will actually interpret and provide those results to patients?
This is Neha Kumar, who directs a team of about 20 genetic counselors at a company called Recombine. Recombine offers a screening test for parents to see what genetic diseases they may pass on to a child. Serious things like cystic fibrosis and Tay-Sachs disease. They offer both pre- and post-test genetic counseling to people, going over what the tests are, what they may reveal, and what the gray areas might mean. The counseling session can last 30 minutes, sometimes an hour. It's the type of thorough conversation other medical providers just don't have the bandwidth for.
It's not necessarily about skill, it's about time.
Plus, with thousands of new tests developed in recent years, genetic counselors have a unique understanding of what the right screenings may be given the patient's family history. Until recently, the industry was keeping up with the increased demand. But then in 2013, there were some major shakeups.
The first was the Supreme Court decision that patenting of genes was no longer an option.
This is Joy Larson-Hidley with the National Society of Genetic Counselors. She's talking about the Supreme Court's ruling that a testing company called Myriad Genetics couldn't claim ownership of BRCA1 and 2. Almost immediately, other, much cheaper tests for these mutations came to the market. And that same year, 2013, there was this.
Angelina Jolie made a surprise announcement this morning. The Oscar winner is revealing.
Angelina Jolie says with a history of cancer in her family and an inherited gene.
She is the epitome of Hollywood glamour and beauty.
Angelina Jolie stunned the world with the recent announcement.
Announcing she had both breasts removed and signaling.
Her sharing that information was really important because it allowed people to identify with her story. If it could happen to Angelina Jolie, it could happen to me.
Hidley says it started a culture shift. People became much more willing to talk about their genetic predispositions and their options. Demand for testing has remained high since Angelina Jolie's disclosure. But Hidley points out that for lots of patients, especially those not getting breast cancer screenings, the wait time to see a counselor is often just a week or two. Still, it's not that easy to just crank out more certified counselors. These are highly trained people. They go through a 2-year master's program and get extensive hands-on training. Right now, there are only about 30 universities offering degree programs, something leaders in the field hope to expand. 300 or so new counselors will graduate this spring, including Nori Williams, who is finishing up at Sarah Lawrence College in New York, the country's oldest and largest program in human genetics. She comes off as part science buff, part therapist.
From a young age, I was always intrigued by how our genetic makeup, this like intrinsic code that's so mysterious and still not well understood, sort of impacts who we are, myself and all the people around me. And then when I found out about genetic counseling specifically, it combined my intellectual curiosities with my more empathetic qualities.
Wow, you've thought about that.
Yes, daily.
Because of the shortage of trained counselors, Williams is already getting job offers. Basically, everyone does.
As like the technology and understanding of genetics grows, the insight that genetic counselors can provide is also growing exponentially. So the job market looks great, and I'm very excited.
The average starting salary for a counselor is about $65,000 to $75,000. Many insurers, including Medicare, typically don't cover counseling sessions, meaning hospitals frequently eat the costs. But they keep hiring counselors because of their clear value to patients. One insurer is taking the opposite approach, though. After the spike that's been dubbed the Angelina Jolie effect, Cigna began mandating that anyone interested in getting a BRCA test had to first meet with a counselor, even if a doctor already approved the screening. That didn't sit well with some doctors' groups, who saw the move as a barrier to care. Not surprisingly, counselors like Stephanie Winheld at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital liked the move.
I don't see that as a barrier. I think that it's really important for patients to get upfront counseling so that they sort of know what they're getting themselves into.
Case in point, Winheld says, are the at-home genetic testing products like 23andMe, where you give them a little spit and they give you your risks for Bloom syndrome and hearing loss. Winheld says patients who try to research genetic test results on their own don't always interpret what they read correctly.
With, Googling things, you either see the very, very bad or the very, very good, and you don't really see that middle.
For Erica Stallings, the New York lawyer, her genetic counseling experience was helpful once she finally got in to see someone. Like her mother, she tested positive for the BRCA2 mutation. Her counselor spent time going through her options and connected her with outside therapists, surgeons, and other supports.
I just always tell people, like, it's not just enough to know that you're positive. Like, you have to see someone who can, like, put those results in, like, context for you.
With the backing of her counselor, Stallings decided to have a preventive double mastectomy last December at the age of 29. She's now volunteering with a breast cancer awareness group, helping to share her genetic story with more women. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.